You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Ow, baby, Lord have mercy, are you ready to get down to it? Are you ready to move it, groove it till you're on a roll and that sweet rhythm and blues soothes your soul? Welcome to another edition of the Juke in the Back, your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues, or the soul that came before rock and roll. I'm your jukebox operator, Matt the Cat, where it's at, and I am ready to lay down a pound of sound with an ounce of bounce and a bowl full of soul. These are the records that led to the rock and roll explosion of the mid-1950s. And this week, we are celebrating Juke in the Back, show number 500. I thought I'd do something special for 500. So I'm pleased to reveal this week's feature, a solid hour of the very first recordings of the hottest working man in show business. The man they call Mr. Dynamite. I'm talking about Mr. Please, Please, Please himself. Got to be the king of them all, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, cats and kittens, the Juke in the Back is proud to feature James Brown and the Famous Flames.
Oh, mercy!
That's right, Hepcats and Crazy Kittens, for the next hour, we are going to feature the very first recordings made for Federal Records out of Cincinnati from James Brown and the Famous Flames, 1956 through 58, the records that started it all. James Brown came into this world on the 3rd of May, 1933, in the Piney Woods just outside of Barnwell, South Carolina. Originally brought up in a wooden shack, his family would soon move to his aunt's brothel. After a couple of more stops around South Carolina, the family moved to Augusta, Georgia, when Brown was about 5 years old. Soon after, his mother left the family because his father was abusive. This left young James Brown plenty of alone time to go off on his own, discover himself, and get into trouble. He began to perform at talent shows as a singer and a dancer, while learning to play the piano, the guitar, and the blues harp. In the mid-1940s, he was heavily inspired by Louis Jordan records. That's what got him interested in performing and singing. For a time, he was even a boxer, but mostly, he was a hustler. And this got him into trouble as he was convicted of robbery in the late 1940s and sent to juvenile detention. There he met future Famous Flames member Johnny Terry, and the two became friends and started singing together. The real change would come when he met Bobby Bird, whose family took a liking to James Brown and actually helped secure his early release from prison in 1952. Brown promised the court that he would sing for the Lord, and for a short time he did, joining the Ever Ready Gospel Singers, which just so happened to include Bobby Bird's sister Sarah. Bird, on the other hand, had his own group called the Gospel Starlighters. Then they became known as the Avons, and finally, the Flames. That's when James Brown joined the group, who had already changed their style from gospel to rhythm and blues. The original members of the Famous Flames were James Brown, Bobby Bird, Sylvester Keels, Nash Knox, and Nafloyd Scott. Soon after, Nafloyd's bass-playing brother, Baroy, joined the group. As far as instrumentation goes, James Brown, Bobby Bird, and Sylvester Keels would switch off on drums and piano. Before getting discovered, Johnny Terry, James Brown's old prison friend, would join the Flames. Soon they started playing parties and dances around South Carolina and Georgia, making a name for themselves and changing their name to the Famous Flames in 1955. That's when they played Macon, Georgia and reached out to native Little Richard. Richard liked what he heard and put them in contact with his current manager, Clint Brantley, Brantley helped them cut a demo of a song they had just written called Please, 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 which was actually inspired by Little Richard, who wrote the words Please, Please, Please down on a cocktail napkin. That demo recording soon got the attention of several record labels, most notably King Records in Cincinnati and Chess Records in Chicago. The way the story goes, the Chess brothers were sending Leonard Chess out to sign the group when a snowstorm hit Chicago and he was delayed. If true, that storm apparently did not affect Ralph Bass, the A&R man over at King Records in Cincinnati, who got right down to Georgia and signed James Brown and the Famous Flames. Bass immediately arranged a recording session set for February 4th, 1956, at the King Studios in Cincinnati. Brown and the group loaded up the station wagon and drove all the way from Georgia. They recorded four songs that day, but of course the standout was Please, Please, Please. And when Bass played the song for his boss, King Records owner Sid Nathan, Nathan thought it was the biggest piece of crap he'd ever heard in his life. And just to prove that point, Nathan said he would put out the record. Nathan must have been shocked when the record caught fire and more orders started coming in for the singles. Please, 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 the first time that James Brown and the Famous Flames are pressed on wax went to number 5 on the national R&B lists and even crossed over, amazingly, to number 105 on the pop charts. Even the pop audience took note of this fantastic record. And this is how we're going to kick off the James Brown edition of the Juke in the Back, 1940s and 50s Rhythm and Blues. Take it away, James Brown and the Famous Flames with Please, Please, Please.
Please, 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 please. This way. Someone has taken my place. No one to share my embrace. Oh, why do you do me like you do? I give my heart to you like no one else could do. I'm just so lonely and blue. Oh, oh, why do you do me like you do? Give my heart to you. Like no one else could do. I'm just so lonely and blue. Oh, why do you do me like you do?
Why Do You Do Me? James Brown and the Famous Flames. The flip side of their very first single, Please, 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 recorded on February 4th of 56 and issued on Federal Records on March 3rd. The song caught fire and reached number 5 on the rhythm and blues lists and number 105 on the pop charts. On the flip side, Why Do You Do Me? You can hear more of a group sound as all the guys are harmonizing. You can also hear Nafloyd Scott's guitar on that side. I'm Matt the Cat, and we're featuring the early years of James Brown, 1956 through 58. After scoring that first ginormous hit, James Brown hit a dry spell, and part of it was the fault of Federal Records. You see, while Please, Please, Please was still hot in many markets, they issued the second single, I Don't Know, backed with I Feel That Old Feeling Coming On. It was almost completely ignored by both disc jockeys and jukebox operators. Even though a pretty good record, it fell flat. The A-side, I Don't Know, sounded way too much like Please, Please, Please. So right now, we're gonna flip it over and hear that great B-side, I Feel That Old Feeling Coming On. James Brown and the Famous Flames, the feature on this week's Juke in the Back.
Tell me what you
James Brown and the Famous Flames' third single, released July 18th of 1956, No, 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 which is a nice mid-tempo shuffle. It was taken from their second session, recorded on March 27th, 1956 in Cincinnati. It was released just 1 month and 8 days after the previous single. I guess when Federal didn't see any action happening on I Don't Know, they rushed out the next single. And the song No, 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 No is credited to one composer, James Brown. Its flip side, Hold My Baby's Hand, is credited to four composers, but only features one singer on the record, James Brown. It's the first time that he's carrying the entire song himself without the Flames singing any background vocals. And man, does he carry the tune. I'm Matt the Cat, and we're featuring the early works of James Brown this week on The Juke in the Back, the soul that came before rock and roll.
I don't mind. There's a way I'm
generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, David Ayers, Thomas Huber, Joe Metzger. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
Having a party, yeah, having a party.
credited on the single as by James Brown only, that's Chawny Onchon. That's the fourth James Brown single, with I Won't Plead No More as the A-side. It was released on October 20th, 1956, but wasn't originally scheduled that way. See, Federal Records had originally scheduled Just Won't Do Right, backed with Let's Make It, for the October 20th release, but at the last minute pulled that single back and instead issued I Won't Plead No More, because it sounded more like Please, 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 and they were still trying to capitalize on the success of that behemoth song. However, it didn't work. But 1956 being such a huge year for James Brown, he did finally attract the attention of New York City and was signed to Universal Attractions to improve his live bookings. And in December of 1956, James Brown and the Famous Flames played their first live show north of Washington, D.C., in Newark, New Jersey. They appeared on the bill with Little Richard. After Federal saw no action with the fourth single, they rushed out the fifth single on January 5th, 1957. I think this was the better of the two singles myself. But Cats and Kittens, why don't you be the judge? As we feature the early records of James Brown, 1956 through 58, and his first release of 57, Just Won't Do Right, on The Juke in the Back.
Since you've been gone,
more time. Oh yeah, no, I've been mad.
James Brown's sixth single for the Federal label, issued on the 9th of March, 1957, comes from his third session, held on June 24th, 1956 in Cincinnati. Gonna Try, backed with Can't Be the Same. But it was the same. Another flop. Federal was starting to get desperate for a hit, so they booked a session held on April 10th, 1957 in Cincinnati and brought in different musicians. The Famous Flames were not on his next single, Messin' with the Blues, which was issued on May 6th. They were attempting to get a fresh sound. It's a James Brown interpretation of the Memphis Slim hit, Messin' Around. Dig it now, baby, as we feature the early records of James Brown on this week's Juke in the Back and the soul that came before rock and roll. Here's Messin' with the Blues.
Been a low down.
Walked Alone, James Brown with the Famous Flames. On his eighth single for Federal, they went way back to his second session, held on March 27, 1956, and drew that song backed with You're Mine, You're Mine, instead of recording new material. It seems like Federal was hoping for a miracle when putting that single out. The miracle never materialized. The single was issued on July 15, 1957, right in the middle of summertime, a summer full of sporadic tour dates and disappointment. But by the fall, a new opportunity had opened up. Little Richard abruptly retired from rock and roll. He had gotten a message from God not to play the devil's music anymore. So with Little Richard out, there were many concert dates that needed to be filled, and James Brown was called upon to fill in the remainder of Little Richard dates. He played those shows, singing Little Richard's songs, backed up by Little Richard's band, the Upsetters. By the end of the tour, James was ready to get back to playing his own music. And he knew the only way he could really do that was to form a new band. He had been inspired by the great tightness of the Upsetters. So he prepared a new Famous Flames for his fifth recording session, held on October 21st, 1957. Bill Hollings, J.W. Archer, and Lewis Madison were on backing vocals. Alvin Fats Gonder on piano, Thomas Gable and John Fair on guitars, Edwin Conley on bass, and Edison Gore on the tubs. They recorded a tune that sounds very much like it was penned by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. However, it was written by Rudy Toombs and Rose Marie McCoy, called That Dude It. It was issued on November 18th, 1957, and it's featured right now on this special edition of Juke in the Back with James Brown and the new Famous Flames. That Dude It.
Now here's a story about a great big old giant. My money, my honey, and me. After digging all the stories about the West the cats have told, me and my baby cut out there, dig us up a mess of gold. The minute we found a buried treasure, I looked up to see a great big old 8-foot giant looking dead on me. And that dude, you know, and that dude, I didn't have no more eyes for digging up no more gold. No, 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 no. I grabbed what I had in one hand and my baby by the other. A giant grabbed my coattail and said, don't you go another further. I ripped off my coat when I was shaking the scene. But what really got my coat was when I heard my baby scream. And that dude, ooh-wee, and that dude, 'cause I ain't going nowhere and leave my baby there. No, 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 no. I put on my brakes and stopped dead in my tracks. As much as I hated the idea, I went crawling on back. I said, look at here, Mr. Giant, as I raised slowly on one knee. I'll do anything you say, hand my baby to me. And that dude, that dude, he said, you're about that loose, and I'll set your baby free. No, 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 no. I said, I'll make you a proposition. It's up to you to choose. It's either your money or your honey. One of the two you'll have to lose. I said, Mr. Giant, I want to thank you for taking a load off my mind. But when it comes to choosing between my money and my honey, I take my money. What I'm saying, I mean my honey every time. And that dude, you know, and that dude. Now the giant got the money and I got my honey.
Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. This week we're featuring the early recordings of James Brown. Let's hear one you never ever hear these days. It was the flip side of the single That Dude It, called My Baby Cries Over the Ocean, and it was issued on Federal Records on November 18th, 1957. It's this week's Great 78, My Baby Cries Over the Ocean, James Brown with the Famous Flames.
Baby cries over the ocean. Yeah. Baby cries over the sea. Yeah. Baby cries over the ocean. Yeah. Baby cries over the sea. Yeah. Baby cries over the ocean. Yeah. Bring back my baby to me. Baby cries over the river. Yeah. Baby cries over the pond. Yeah. You know that I love her and I miss her. Yeah. Sang about her in my song. Yeah. Baby cries over the ocean. Yeah. Bring back my baby to me. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me an ocean. I won't drown in my own tears. You know, pretty baby, you give me a notion. It's your boyfriend that I do fear. Baby cries over the ocean. Yeah. Baby cries over the sea. Yeah. My baby cries over the ocean. Yeah. Bring back my baby to me. Yeah. Baby cries over the ocean. Yeah. Bring back my baby to me.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
That's When I Lost My Heart. What a sweet, sweet tune. Backed with Begging, Begging. I'm Matt the Cat, and you're digging early James Brown right here on the soul that came before rock and roll, The Juke in the Back. Now that single, his 10th for Federal Records, issued on February 10th, 1958, was poised to do well as it started to get a little bit of airplay in several markets. However, Sid Nathan wasn't putting any money behind James Brown anymore, and the label had no further plans to record James Brown material. So Federal put no money behind promoting that record. After it fell flat, just like the rest, James Brown knew his days were numbered. But he also knew that with the right song, he could get another session. So he wrote a tune called Try Me. And sometime in August of 58, he got the Flames together and entered King Studios in Cincinnati to record the demo. He would use this demo to try and convince Sid Nathan to put out this record. The demo was long thought to be lost, but was recently discovered on 78 acetate. And I'm going to play it for you right now. What you're about to hear is a group of guys desperate to make a hit record in order to stay alive. And it would save his career as it became an immediate hit upon its release on the 13th of October of 58, reaching number one on the rhythm and blues lists on February 22nd, 1959, and remaining there for 1 week. But what really tells the story about how big this record was is that it crossed over to number 48 on the pop chart. Everyone was buying Try Me, so let's start out with the demo, and then we'll go into the released single. This is early James Brown and the start of his very long career with this record right here, Try Me.
Thank you.
basically the start of a brand new career for James Brown. Try Me, his 11th single for Federal Records, and only his second hit. The demo that you heard before that was recorded in August of 58. And the recording session for Try Me was held on September 18th of 58 in New York City at Beltone Studios. That's the first time that James Brown recorded outside of Cincinnati. His next session would be held in Los Angeles, then back to New York, and he wouldn't return to Cincinnati to record again until April of 59. From there, he was on a roll, charting 117 more singles on the Rhythm and Blues chart. His last one in 1996. 16 of them would hit the top of the charts, and few artists would sell more records than James Brown during the 1960s. He became an influential and cultural force in music and in civil rights. We lost the Godfather of Soul on Christmas Day, 2006, at the age of 73. I'm Matt the Cat, and I'm so happy we got to highlight the early records of James Brown, often overlooked because they weren't hits. You can really hear that he was an artist trying to find himself during the early federal period. I hope you dug it too, cats and kittens. And remember, until next time, soul! It's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's a feeling. And you get that feeling each week when you tune into your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues, The Juke in the Back. Let's close down the program with the flip side of Try Me. It was also recorded in New York at that September 18th session. Tell Me What I Did Wrong. James Brown and the Famous Flames. I'll catch y'all on the flip side next week. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Walk right up to me, baby. Tell me what have I done wrong. Walk right up to me, baby. Tell me what have I done wrong. I want to know that you still love me. Or have I been away too long? There is something about you, baby, that I just can't understand. Something about you, baby, that I just can't understand. I wanna know that you still love me. I had to find some other man. Hey, 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 hey. Let's have a mighty good time.
Whiskey and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on The Juke in the Back.